Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
To watch him live yesterday. There's the microphone. I didn't get a chance to watch him live yesterday, but some great speeches so far. I've been just listening in on a couple of the speeches thus far. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western Congressional District, newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy, and Congressman Troy Downing all addressed a joint session of the legislature in Helena yesterday. And it was kind of funny because Ryan Zinke, when he opened up his speech, he said, "You know what? I didn't prepare a speech for you here today. I just want to talk to you. We're all Montanans." And then he delivers this great speech, but obviously it wasn't scripted. And so there's a couple highlights I should probably pull from that one. Maybe we'll get to him today. Maybe I'll get it on our website and share it with you tomorrow after I get a chance to go through it. I think both speeches are at least 15, 20 minutes long. So, you know, we're not going to play the full thing as good as that would be, but maybe we'll play some big highlights. Senator Sheehy, in his remarks, man, I tell you what, the message he had for Democrats with Democrats in the room was very powerful. And he talked about the America First agenda and how that shouldn't be a partisan thing. And he gave a summary of just some of the billions and billions and billions of dollars in fraud, waste, and abuse that's being uncovered right now by the DOGE team, by Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency team. And he gave that summary right in front of the Democrats. I did notice on X yesterday, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, the Democrats were trying to say, "Oh, no, that's not happening with Social Security." Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, I get it. They cut off the payments if somebody's in the system and they're older than 115. But if they still have people in their system at 150 years old, you know, they have people that are in their system that are still in their 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, whatever, that maybe have already passed away but are still somehow getting these payments. Plus, we know that there's illegal aliens who are defrauding Social Security by the masses right now. But then again, the illegal aliens, vis-a-vis John Tester and Joe Biden and the Democrats, defrauded the whole of government. Yeah, is there one government program where illegal aliens were not getting our taxpayer money? I mean, that would almost be a better question. It's harder to say, it's easier to say which government program were illegal aliens not getting money from in the last 4 years than to say, well, this is the program that was, giving money to illegal aliens to live in luxury hotels in New York City. Well, this is how VA workers were being used to process claims for illegal aliens. Well, this is how illegal aliens got this and this and this and this and this. Is there one government agency that was not giving our money to illegal aliens? I mean, that's probably the easier question to find the answer for. All right, let's see. Hey, let's do a check-in. We're going to check in with our friends from the National Weather Service office. Man, it's crazy. I think the coldest day is either going to be today or tomorrow. And then we could be 50 degrees in parts of Montana. The kids will be in shorts and T-shirts pretty soon. The update from the National Weather Service office coming up right after this, live.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some areas of light snow across the region for today, up to an inch of snow possible yet. High temperature readings otherwise stay from around 1 above in Billings to around 13 in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances come to an end. Lows of 5 below in Bozeman to 22 below in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
The Senate Armed Services Committee recently held a hearing to better assess the threats the U.S. currently faces and how best to deal with them. Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi described the situation this way.
The United States faces the most dangerous security environment it has entered since World War II.
NORTHCOM Commander Air Force General Gregory Guillot, who is responsible for protecting the continental U.S., says the growing alliance between Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran is always on his mind.
While their cooperation does not approach the level of complete integration demonstrated by the United States and Canada, their transfer of weapons, military technology, and basing access is cause for significant concern.
SOUTHCOM Commander Admiral Alvin Halsey, who's responsible for overseeing the Latin America region, says he's learned one important thing from other countries.
Partners prefer to work with us over China, Russia, and other nations to overcome their most pressing challenges.
Jim Buretsky, Fox News.
All right, here is the bottom line up front. For the average Montana family, your tax bill would go up by $2,569. That's if we go off the fiscal cliff. That's if we do not renew the Trump tax cuts. I've got those numbers and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Here's the headline. This is what happens to Montana if we go off the fiscal cliff. The numbers, the explanation, and more. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I'm done with my snowblower. You guys heard me. And I love getting out, getting my snowblower. It's fun. Plus, I'm in the bad back club, so I need that snowblower instead of a shovel to get rid of all that snow. And you know me, I have fun breaking out the snowblower. But I've had enough fun. I'm good. I'm done for the rest of the season. Now I'm sick of bringing out the snowblower. It's like, seriously, for the second time today, I got to bring it out again today. Let's check in with Emily Archer from the National Weather Service office in Billings. Emily, thanks for being with us this morning. Looks like it's going to get even colder over the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, we're looking at some cold wind chills again tonight, ranging from around negative 20 to even up to negative 50 for some areas across a lot of the state.
And that's heading into Wednesday morning. That's what it's going to look like over the next 24. And then by the weekend, some places will at least be above 40 degrees, maybe even pushing 50.
Yep. So with that warm up, we're looking at some windier conditions as well. And really, it's going to take those winds to kind of come in and push out some of this Arctic air. And then that's when we'll see the warm up. So Thursday for some locations and Friday for others. But we're looking pretty good at having above normal temperatures through the end of February.
Very interesting. What have been some of the numbers or the storylines that have been standing out to you guys in particular over the last, couple of days, across the state, your neck of the woods, for the south central, south west, or southeastern part of the state?
Yeah. So over the past couple of days, we set two daily snowfall records at the Billings Airport. So on the 17th, we had 5.4 inches of snow, which beat the old record that was set in 1959. And then on the 16th, we had 4.6 inches of snow, which set the old record that was set in 2005. And overall, February is typically one of our drier months. So by this time in February, we've usually only had 5.3 inches of snow. And for the month, we're already up to 29.3 inches.
Wow. I was wondering what the total might be because, with the berm that's been created from the residential snow plows and then my snowblower pushing snow to the left and to the right and on the yard, it's the berm, the snow berm, is almost above my son's pickup bed now, to where you can almost only see, like, the cab of the pickup behind the snow berm.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of snow.
Yeah, a couple of records being sent. Do you still anticipate your neck of the woods getting a lot of snow in the April time frame? It always seems like the Billings area in particular gets a lot of snow later on in the spring.
Yeah, so that's definitely going to be something to watch. That kind of March, April is typically when we start to see more of our precipitation. From the Climate Prediction Center's 3-month outlook, right now they have most of Montana in the equal chances for above or below normal precipitation. So it's a little far out at the moment to say how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the latest wind chill numbers across the region at 6 o'clock this morning. The National Weather Service office up in Glasgow just shared that via X. Looks like up there near, it would be north of Saco. I don't know if that's still Valley County or Phillips County, but 56 below zero is the wind chill. Looks like up in Poplar, 47 below zero, 56 below zero in Wolf Point, and then further east down Highway 2 there as well. So that's just some of the wind chills. But then even pushing down closer to Jordan, you know, you're still looking at like 47 below zero just south of Fort Peck Lake there, 52 below out closer towards Glendive. So, yeah, pretty wild numbers. What's the precipitation looking like kind of elsewhere across the state, too? I know I just had Marco Manukian from Malta with me on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, even though the Billings area is getting a lot of snow, the Flathead, I think, or northwest Montana is still only at about 70% of normal. So I know there's parts of the state that are wanting more of this moisture that that the Billings area seems to be hogging right now.
Yeah, so just taking a look at some of the snow water equivalent up in the mountains. So the Alberca, Beartooth Mountains, a lot of those stations are sitting above 80%. But as you get out further west, some of those numbers are lower. We've got a lot of numbers in the 60s to 70s range, kind of in those western mountains.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, about a minute to go before we get to the break here. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? What else is standing out to you?
So with this warm-up coming after these cold temperatures that we've been having, we could see snow melt start to add up pretty quickly. But with the ground being frozen, that could cause some issues of overland flooding and some ice jam development in the rivers. So that's just something we're going to be keeping a pretty close eye on.
All right. Well, great information. Emily Archer at the National Weather Service office in Billings, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. All right, man. Give our thanks to the whole crew there as well, not just at your office, but the other offices all across the state. I checked in on social media this morning. Let me see some of the other weather highlights that are standing out. Yeah, I shared some of the wind chills in northeastern Montana. And as Emily talked about, the National Weather Service office in Great Falls says that Arctic air will stick around for another day with wind chills as low as 55 below possible tonight for portions of the High Line. So, but they're already seeing that this morning right now, of course, too.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Creating jobs is hard. Destroying them is easy. Take the case of trade policy and the setting of tariffs. Some claim that higher tariffs help manufacturers at the cost of higher prices to consumers. But the actual experience of the tariffs imposed on steel in the first Trump administration should remind us that businesses are customers too. Contrary to the rhetoric of some advocates, the evidence from 2018 showed that steel tariffs were almost completely passed through to customers in the form of higher prices. Those higher prices were mostly matched by domestic steel companies who cashed in higher profits without gaining market share. But this was only the beginning of the losses. Car manufacturers, appliance makers, and builders of all kinds of durable goods using steel faced higher costs, thinner margins, and reduced sales. The effect was to add about 1,000 jobs in steelmaking industries, but at a cost of more than 75,000 jobs elsewhere. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Every year around President's Day, a senator takes to the floor and reads George Washington's farewell address. The speech's full title is The Address of General Washington to the People of America on His Declining the Presidency of the United States. It was first published on September 19, 1796, just weeks before the presidential election that year. An initial draft of the letter was written with the help of James Madison in 1792. However, Washington decided to seek a second term. He worried that growing tensions that had erupted in his own cabinet would further divide the public and tear the country apart. Washington revisited the speech toward the end of his second term. He asked for help from his Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton to craft the remarks and bid goodbye to the public. The tradition of reading the farewell address began in the Senate on February 22, 1862. The goal was to boost morale during the Civil War. Since 1896, sitting members of both parties had been selected to deliver the address on or around February 22nd in honor of George Washington's birthday. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. For those of us in the cattle business, we have to make smart decisions when planning for the future of our herds and our operations. Recently, I sat down with Dr. Troy Rowan of the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, and he shared more on research that recently came out on how cow-calf producers can use more phenotype data in making decisions for the future of their herds.
All of the genetics that we do, all the genetic improvement programs, they're built on the collection of phenotypes. So things like birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, carcass weight, those phenotypes that have driven all the increase productivity in our growth, productivity on the rail and the feed yard. But the big question that the Angus Association wanted to ask of their producers and folks from across the industry is what are we missing and what are the technologies and approaches that are going to allow us to get there, right? We need to capture that information from across sectors of the industry. And in this Imagine Forum we hosted back in October, we really sat down a bunch of industry leaders in one room and started to strategize and think about the new and emerging trends and technologies that could get us there. And the white paper really just tries to sum all that up.
He said the big takeaway from the research was that commercial data will be more important as we move forward.
The seed stock producer has traditionally been our main collector of phenotypic records. We understand that we need to measure these phenotypes, especially things like disease resistance and fertility in the environments that matter to the commercial producer. So we've got to integrate those commercial records. And there's new technologies coming online that are going to help us get there easier in a more consistent and accurate way.
And by using phenotypic data in their commercial cow-calf operations, producers can understand more about the future of their herd health, performance, and profitability. We'll be right back.
Ranchers, it's time for the 34th annual Reyes Russell Bull Sale. Monday, February 24th, 238 come and 2-year-old and 8-yearling Angus bulls sell at the ranch near Wheatland, Wyoming. Reyes Russell Bulls are raised and developed in a realistic range environment. Half tested at 8,000 feet, they're ready to go to work for you. Sale time is 1 o'clock. For more information, visit mrangusranch.com. Also carried live on Northern Livestock Video Auction. Reyes Russell, your source for high-altitude bulls.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
U.S. dairy continues to see strong export activity, with exports in 2024 reaching $8.2 billion, the second highest total export value ever, and $223 million higher over last year. That's all according to data from USDA. Mexico and Canada, U.S. dairy's top two global trading partners, represented more than 40% of U.S. dairy exports. Each imported record values of dairy at $2.47 billion and $1.14 billion, respectively. Central American markets also surged, with Costa Rica, Guatemala, and El Salvador all importing record values of U.S. dairy. U.S. dairy exports to China did decline in 2024, marking the lowest year of exports to the communist nation since 2020. That's a look at this morning's Daybreak Ag Report. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, yeah, let me jump right into it here. Let's play some highlights of Senator Tim Sheehy's speech to the Montana legislature yesterday, kind of like a State of the Union address or like a State of the State address every legislative session, which only happens every couple of years. The members of the congressional delegation will come and give a speech and give an update to the lawmakers. That took place yesterday, with three of the four giving speeches. Montana Senator Steve Daines was not there yesterday. He'll speak at some point, I imagine. But it's really cool where he was at. I saw a great photograph. Senator Steve Daines had, it was Senator Steve Daines holding this massive chainsaw
and he got a photo with Javier Milei, the president of Argentina. Senator Daines is apparently down in Argentina and elsewhere in South America doing trade discussions and trade talks right now. I'm sure beef is coming up for our friends Lane and Russell there, of course. And the rest of us. But yeah, how cool is that? I mean, Javier Milei, he was Doge before there was Doge, going in and just bringing that chainsaw to this massive government bureaucracy down there that caused you think inflation is bad here in America? Yeah, I get it. It stinks that we can't find eggs right now because Joe Biden killed all the chickens and then the Chinese launched the bird flu. Yeah, but there's substitutes for eggs. What Biden and Tester's inflation did and what the previous government down in Argentina did, well, you couldn't afford anything. I mean, just forget your eggs alone. I mean, they had all their eggs, the whole basket, everything cost way too much. But anyway, so Javier Milei's just been incredible the way he's turning that country around. What a remarkable leader he is. So it was very cool to see Senator Daines get a photo with him and the chainsaw. As Elon Musk and crew bring the chainsaw to the fraud, waste, and abuse being funded by your taxpayer dollars here in this country as well. All right, let's see here. Let's do a quick intro. This is Tim Sheehy talking about promises made, promises kept.
And deliver on our campaign promises. In D.C., we're already seeing the results of having unified House, Senate, and White House. We're working hand in glove across the board to deliver common sense solutions for the American people. This past election, Montana's had a clear choice between American decay and common sense, and they chose common sense. To my Democrat colleagues in this chamber, I hope you'll listen to the will of the people, which is to leave the crazy behind and put America first. Our nation is stronger with two healthy parties engaged in good faith negotiations for putting the interests of our people first. It doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but it means we can agree. We want to bring inflation down. We want our streets safe, and we can work together to make that happen.
He just told the Democrats to leave the crazy behind. Was Zoe Zephyr in the room, or did Zoe Zephyr, was he too big of a bigot again to listen in on the viewpoints of folks from the other party? You know, remember when the governor gave the State of the State address, and then Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula, he was too big of a bigot to sit in their room and hear what the governor had to say. I wonder if they left the crazy behind or if Zoe was in the room. I mean, Senator Sheehy is delivering a message here about, look, we need to work together, but we've got to put America first and we've got to put Montana first. Plus, we got elected by telling the people what we were going to do, and now we need to do it. And we get it that you Democrats don't like that, but look, we are going to do what we told the people we would do. It gets even better than that soundbite I just played from Senator Sheehy's speech in the capital of Montana yesterday.
I would ask you, leave behind the divisive rhetoric that has characterized our last 8 years of politics. Let's try to work together. Instead of being called racist and fascist and quacks and science deniers, American people said they were tired of the character assassination, the lawfare, the dehumanization that was hurled at all conservatives, moms who wanted their kids to go to school, not be kept out of school for lockdowns, dads who didn't want boys and girls locker rooms. They were tired of being told they were racist for wanting a secure border, being told they were climate deniers for wanting cheap gas, and fascists for wanting safe streets. The American people didn't vote against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. They didn't vote against John Tester. They voted for the future of their children, and they voted for America first. So I call my Democrat colleagues, let's abandon the politics of resistance, let's stop calling for violence in the streets and obstruction, and let's reflect on the message that Montanans and Americans delivered to us in November. Let's try to craft solutions that actually make life better for Montanans and Americans. We don't have to grant everything, but we can collaborate on the shared mission that we want our children's future to be better than our own. And I'd welcome all in this chamber and working with me to unify our state and our country behind competence and common sense. One thing we can all agree on, we want to bring down prices for families, boost real wages. We want farmers, ranchers, miners, loggers, electricians and carpenters to be able to earn a living wage in this country and continue to grow our economy and build our communities. It's our job to deliver that. And how we're going to do that is we need to provide permanent tax relief, reduce harmful regulations, and restore fiscal sanity. Think about this. In the last 2 weeks, the GAO, the Government Accountability Office of our own government, has found the U.S. Treasury is paying up to $500 billion a year in faulty payments. Half a trillion of about a $6.5 trillion annual budget. Half a trillion is being sent to the wrong people, to erroneous accounts, to overseas fraudsters. It's going into the ether, and we don't even know where it's going. The Pentagon can't even pass an audit. The DOGE team has uncovered we're spending over $100 billion with a B, $100 billion in entitlement payments to individuals who don't even have a Social Security number. And up to 10,000 people are using the same Social Security number to draw benefits. The low estimate of that sum being obvious fraud paid out is nearly $60 billion a year, $1 billion a week in fraudulent payments coming out of our entitlement programs. To put that into perspective, the entire GDP of the state of Montana is $57 billion. So the entire economic output of the state of Montana every year is being wasted through improper payments through our Treasury Department, strictly in entitlement programs.
Wow. All right, let's hold it right there. I'll have a little bit more to follow with that and some other topics to get to as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Maybe somebody can explain this one for us, explain this one for Bev in Bozeman. Let me get to a few messages that have come in. We're going to open up the mailbag here, but it's our Montana Talks app messages. So there's some random ones that have come in here. And let's just get to them here. All right, Bev and Bozeman last night, you know, as we're playing highlights from the congressional delegation speeches at the legislature yesterday, Bev and Bozeman says, please explain what happened in the Senate tonight. This was last night, Monday night. It looks like Ellsworth's band of Republican turncoats are just flexing their muscles to show who is running the Senate. Please have someone explain in plain language what is going on. Yeah, Bev, thanks for that message. I was not watching the floor last night, so maybe one of our listeners has more insight to see what it looked like. There was another deal where a handful of Republicans teamed up with the Democrats to shift committee assignments around. It's like, hey, come on, guys. It's February 18th. Why are we still playing musical chairs here? Just get to work and work with your caucus here instead of working with the Democrat caucus to undermine your caucus. I just don't get it. I don't get what's driving some of this here with some of these folks. And I've offered every single one of them the opportunity to be on the show to tell us as well. Some other messages that came in. This one actually came in yesterday from Light Brows in Hardin. You know, we're talking about all this wasteful spending that's being identified and documented by Elon Musk and the DOGE team. Lightbrows says this: we now see how much USAID money was funneled to the anti-Second Amendment groups. How much did they send to the climate activist organizations? USAID funding anti-American organizations. Lightbrows, you're exactly right. And they're funding anti-American organizations in our country and outside of our country. It is absolutely shameful what the Democrats have been doing and what is being uncovered. I think it's even worse than a lot of people expected here. On that point, Lightbrows asked a good question later in the morning yesterday, which is, God, like, how much money are they giving to these climate activist groups? Well, let me see here. I probably have a couple of different audio clips that can give you a good example here. Let me see. Where should we start? Let's go to this Fox News Radio story. This is the $20 billion. Remember when the newly appointed EPA administrator Lee Zeldin was talking about how they were throwing $20 billion of gold off the Titanic? This is what he was referring to. $20 billion with a B.
EPA officials tell Fox the previous administration, at the last minute, parked $20 billion in a bank with the goal of doling it out to climate organizations as part of a, quote, rush job with reduced oversight. Administrator Lee Zeldin calling on the EPA to end its agreement with the bank where the money's sitting and for the bank to return all of it. Separately, he's already canceled a $50 million grant for the Climate Justice Alliance for its pro-Palestinian stance. The head of that organization is blaming the Biden administration for not processing that money in time, while also criticizing the Trump administration.
See how sickening this is? I mean, they're even funding the terrorism and the terrorists in the Middle East with this stuff and calling it climate funding. $20 billion with a B. Yesterday, if you guys missed it, especially if you're, you know, agriculture-related folks, in the 9 o'clock hour, we had Marco Manoukian. He was in town for a bull sale, and so it was great because he was able to join us in studio. He's a former MSU Extension agent up in Phillips County, and he's a rancher in Phillips County. He's a secretary treasurer of the Livestock Association up there. He's also the co-chair of basically the St. Mary's working group, which is trying to fix the lifeline of the High Line, the entire water supply, clean drinking water, agricultural irrigation water for the entire High Line of Montana, basically stretching from Glacier National Park all the way over to Fort Peck. It's how we feed the world. It's clean drinking water for people all along the High Line. To fix it, it's $200 million. That is chump change. That is absolute chump change, right? $20 billion Joe Biden was trying to feed to these anti-American climate activist groups on his way out the door. How many wish you had some global warming today with the 50 below zero wind chills that many of you are getting right now? All right, back to Senator Tim Sheehy's speech on the floor of the state house yesterday, giving his remarks to the state legislature. The newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy was talking about DOGE and all of the waste, fraud, and abuse that Elon Musk and his team are identifying.
Over 6.5 million people over the age of 112 are still drawing Social Security minimums. And the only place you'll find that many people over 112 is in the U.S. Senate in one spot at one time. And they've also said there's still people 150 years old or older drawing benefits as well. Since 2003, $2.7 trillion, with a T, $1 trillion in improper payments have been made. $236 billion of improper payments were wasted in 2023 alone. That's $236 billion just in 2023 alone, solely from Medicare and Medicaid, going to the wrong accounts, the wrong people, or overseas. USAID was also revealed to be a mess, as I'm sure you've heard, wasting billions of hard-earned taxpayer dollars on projects in Guatemala, transgender comic books in Peru, TEI in Serbia, literally meals for Al-Qaeda fighters. Recently, my Democrat colleagues in the Senate have said it's unconstitutional what DOGE is doing. That's certainly an opinion. First of all, I'm glad that so many Democrats are now Democrat scholars in D.C. Or constitutional scholars, because that's a document we should all read and get to know better. But if you say it's unconstitutional to end the fraud, waste, and abuse of taxpayer dollars, was it also unconstitutional to allow 10 million illegal immigrants into our country? Was it unconstitutional to discharge over 8,000 U.S. service members with no due process, with no benefits, with no pay? Where was the outrage about the constitutionality of these actions? And the fact was, there was none. Right now, we've sent, as we speak, $40 million a week to the Taliban. That's among many other programs where the U.S. taxpayers actively, daily funding terrorist organizations, nonprofits, masking funding to terrorists or terrorist safe haven countries. So the U.S. taxpayer, you, Montana taxpayers, are literally paying terrorist organizations directly. That's unacceptable, and after the sacrifices that myself, my wife made as a combat veteran of Afghanistan, as most of my friends who we all served together, that's unacceptable to me.
All right. Yeah. Well, what a speech there by Senator Sheehy. And, of course, you could just imagine, you know, the gall of the legislative Democrats there. And you could see some of them on Twitter clutching their pearls after that. But of course, he then talked about, you know, working together in a bipartisan fashion and how he is actively working with Senate Democrats, like a senator from New Jersey, even old, you know, Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff. He's willing to work with anybody to improve our wildfire
policies to fight fires in this country. So he's working with Senate Democrats on that. So he did talk about how Democrats and Republicans can work together. But they're never going to be able to work together as long as we keep seeing these temper tantrums and the America last mentality that Montana Democrats have embraced, that the national Democrats embraced, and apparently they're having a really hard time moving away from. By the way, sidebar, guess who the Democrats are bringing in for their big Mansfield Metcalf dinner? Man, I'm sure Mansfield's like, oh my goodness. Tampon Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate, Tampon Tim, the governor of Minnesota. That's who the Democrats are bringing to speak to their Mansfield Metcalf dinner. I thought it was a joke when I read it. I thought it was satire, but apparently it's true. They're actually doing it. Anyway, I just sent out a tweet. I was like, you know, they could have at least invited John Fetterman. I mean, at least that would have been interesting and entertaining. Tampon Tim Walz, really? I mean, you guys, I guess they didn't listen when Tim Sheehy told them to leave crazy behind. They're saying, no, let's bring crazy from Minnesota with Tampon Tim Walz. He's going to be their big keynote speaker. My goodness, what in the world? Let's see. Elon Musk in this interview that's going to air tonight with Sean Hannity. Let me see. I think I've got the audio. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here's Elon and Trump talking about the Democrats and how irrational they are.
We're going to rescue astronauts. And now, again, you do all of this. I would think liberals would love the fact that you have the biggest electric vehicle company in the world.
I mean, I used to be adored by the left, you know.
Not anymore.
Less so these days.
You killed that, huh?
I mean, less so.
I really didn't.
Well, I mean, it's this whole sort of like, you know, it's the quote, like Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. And I don't, you know, you don't realize how real this is until, like, it's, you can't reason with people. So, like, I was at a friend's birthday party in LA, just a birthday dinner. And it was like a nice, quiet dinner, and everyone was behaving normally. And I happened to mention, this is before the election, like a month or two before, I happened to mention the president's name. And it was like they got shot with a dart in the jugular.
The Trump derangement syndrome is real. It's like holy water. Yes.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It is mind-numbing, the numbers. You know, you hear millions, billions, and trillions. But now we're finding hundreds of billions in all of this money in waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. You know, Doge dug up another $1.9 billion in taxpayer money. The quote was misplaced. How do you misplace $1.9 million at the Department of Housing and Urban Development? How does that happen? You know, how does a top agency recover that sum only because Elon Musk did it? And I know it's maybe fashionable, although the American people are quickly not buying it. There's a Rasmussen poll out on top of the Trafalgar and Insider Advantage poll last week. You know, his popularity, as more and more people become aware of it, they're going to realize Elon Musk is a national treasure.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some areas of light snow across the region for today, up to an inch of snow possible yet. High temperature readings otherwise stay from around 1 above in Billings to around 13 in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances come to an end. Lows of 5 below in Bozeman to 22 below in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Snakes,
zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Caden, do we have the legislative update? We got it on the calendar every day at this time. There we go.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
There's an old saying that politics makes strange bedfellows, and that truth was on display recently during the hearing on House Bill 371, a bill to ban the use of mRNA vaccines in humans in the state of Montana. Each session, we see several bills that draw large crowds of proponents and opponents, and this was one of those bills. As predicted, this bill pitted everyday Montana citizens and doctors against the medical establishment, specifically research scientists working for large pharmaceutical companies and the U.S. government. At issue was whether or not relatively new mRNA vaccine or gene therapy technology should be allowed to be administered to Montanans and Montana school children as part of the list of required childhood vaccinations. If you're having flashbacks to the COVID pandemic, you're on target. This is a direct result of the COVID vaccine mandates that were part of our lives just 4 years ago. It's worth noting that the bill sponsor, Representative Greg Kometz of Miles City, is also sponsoring a companion bill, House Bill 418, which would ban the use of mRNA vaccines in both domestic pets and livestock in Montana. That bill is scheduled to be heard in the House Agriculture Committee on Thursday. House Bill 371 was heard in House Judiciary on February 4th and passed out of the committee on a party-line vote last week Wednesday. It has yet to be scheduled for a floor vote. Judging from the level of emotion at the hearing, it appears the controversy over gene-based vaccines has not decreased over the past 4 years, and if anything, both sides are even more dug in their positions. At the hearing, those in favor of the ban went first, many describing in excruciating detail how they'd been injured by the COVID vaccine, and those injuries continuing to this day. Doctors talked about treating vaccine-injured patients, and much of the testimony focused on the mRNA technology itself and how these are not really vaccines in the traditional sense, but rather synthetic gene therapies created by splicing genetic material from an organism into human genetic material, which when administered begins to replicate throughout the human body and can even be shed to unvaccinated people in close proximity. They said that there's even talk of placing these vaccines into the food supply so that people are automatically vaccinated whether they know it or not. As justification, the legislation itself points to potential dangers of mRNA vaccines in the whereas clauses of the bill. Among other dangers, it describes mRNA vaccines causing enormous numbers of deaths, disabilities, and adverse events. The fact that no long-term studies focusing on fertility, teratogenicity, mutagenicity, or oncogenicity have been completed. Recipients are not given informed consent. The fact that these vaccines may integrate into the human genome and be passed on to the next generation. And finally, the claim that these vaccines are contaminated with DNA, metallic particles, and other unknown nanoparticles. On the other hand, those in favor of the vaccines painted a completely different picture. Many were research scientists who described mRNA technology as the exciting new frontier in vaccine technology and immunology. Many pointed to the fact that they themselves were completely vaccinated and boosted with as many as 5 doses of the COVID vaccine with no side effects as proof that the technology is safe. One scientist basically told legislators in the crowd to get used to it. This technology, he said, is being rolled out on a large scale, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. To the issue of politics and strange bedfellows, all of the Republicans who are supposed to support big business voted for the ban, and all of the Democrats who traditionally oppose genetically modified organisms or GMOs voted against it. Go figure. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, great update there by Jeff Laszlofsky. We had that listener in Bozeman ask a good question about the state Senate. We'll try to get the answer next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Creating jobs is hard. Destroying them is easy. Take the case of trade policy and the setting of tariffs. Some claim that higher tariffs help manufacturers at the cost of higher prices to consumers. But the actual experience of the tariffs imposed on steel in the first Trump administration should remind us that businesses are customers, too. Contrary to the rhetoric of some advocates, the evidence from 2018 showed that steel tariffs were almost completely passed through to customers in the form of higher prices. Those higher prices were mostly matched by domestic steel companies who cashed in higher profits without gaining market share. But this was only the beginning of the losses. Car manufacturers, appliance makers, and builders of all kinds of durable goods using steel faced higher costs, thinner margins, and reduced sales. The effect was to add about 1,000 jobs in steelmaking industries, but at a cost of more than 75,000 jobs elsewhere. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.